Exodus 24, Exodus 24, a couple of verses there that we want to focus on for our thought, verse 12 and verse 13, praise the Lord. Again, thank you so much for being faithful to the house of the Lord, and the snow is a problem and difficulty, but I guess we do live in Alaska, and that's part of it. Exodus 24 and 12, the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and a law, and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the Mount of God. He received that call from the Lord, and he responded. It wasn't something that he delayed or postponed or procrastinated on. When the Lord said, come up, I'm glad for the reaction of Moses. And we'll call this come up, because that's the direction God wants us to go. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Down is, by a huge contrast, the devil's direction. Isaiah 14 is a passage that deals with aspects of the devil, and I was pleased to see in that passage how many times down is mentioned. In Isaiah 14, speaking of Lucifer, the devil, his pomp is brought down. He's fallen from heaven and cut down. He's brought down to hell and down to the stones of the pit. Four times it's emphasized that he's going down. Praise God. And I think it's good to emphasize and tweak his name a little bit, that he is Lucifer. Loser. He's a loser. Going down. Now, he doesn't like that, and he'll give you a bad time for saying it. He'll fight against you for standing on truth and worshiping and giving praise to the Lord, because he doesn't like to lose his grip on people, but he is a loser. Amen. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Down. His direction. Amen. His future is down. The bottomless pit. The lake of fire. No wonder he wants to bring you down. No wonder he deals in distress and depression as well as deceit. Because he wants the church to be down. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. He doesn't like that. He doesn't want that worship. He doesn't want you shining in the light of the gospel of truth. No, he wants to get you down. And so Paul acknowledged that that is the outcome sometimes. And in 2 Corinthians 4, he makes a list. And but yet, we understand that in that list, there's an answer that the Lord provides. Troubled on every side, the apostle said. And sometimes we feel like that. Everywhere we turn, there's trouble. But Paul went on to say, yet not distressed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. And the reason for that is we have a treasure in our earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's not us that's going to get the job done. It's not us that's going to defeat the distress or despair or feeling forsaken or the attempts of the enemy to destroy, but it's that treasure. Amen. The treasure that we have within us and the excellency of the power that God is able to bring forth. Amen. Now, in humility, we do bow down. We bow down before His throne. The Bible says every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. We humble ourselves in repentance and we surrender to His will. We're buried with Him in baptism down into a watery grave. And we are raised up to walk in newness of life. Thank God that He provides that power and blessing. So He gave the invitation to Moses, come up to me. Not just come up the mountain for exercise, not just come up so you can see the sights and the horizon is a long way off and the vistas you can behold are beautiful. Come up to me, he said. God's call. I'm thankful that is out of darkness and into his marvelous light. I'm glad it's from wickedness to holiness. It's from being a sinner to being a saint. Thank God for the dynamic change that the Lord is able to bring in our lives. Not just come up to me and see the wonder and the display of awesome power and the blessings that he's able to go forth and go down an unchanged man, an unchanged woman. No, being in the presence of God means a change. Being in the presence of God means a difference. Thank God for the power that he's able to display. Now, Moses had been on the mountain before. This was not the first time that God is calling him to a sacred place. And I'm thankful his response was that Moses rose up. Moses went up. He didn't say, again, I've been on the mountain. I've climbed them before. I've skinned my knuckles and my knees, and I've panted and was out of breath, and I don't want to go up again. No, that wasn't what it was about. Because he could remember being on a hill when the people of Israel were fighting against Amalek. And as long as he held his hands up, the victory went for the Hebrews. Amen. And when he became tired and his hands began to drop, the battle went against Israel. So Aaron and Hur realized what was going on, and they put Moses on a stone, on a rock, and one stood on one side and one stood on the other and held up the arms of the man of God. And the victory was won that day. Moses built an altar and called it Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is our banner. The Lord will lead into battle. The Lord will bring forth the victory. Praise God. Thank the Lord that we can put our trust in Him. And Moses was on Mount Sinai when the Ten Commandments were given. No, he didn't complain about God calling him to the mountain again. God wants you to keep stepping up to come to Him. God wants you to keep climbing the mountain. God wants you to keep reaching out and receiving the blessings that He has. Come up to me, he says, because God is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is everywhere present. Thank God that we can know that He is able to provide in every circumstance and in every need. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. Hallelujah. And we can go into His presence. Amen. Come up, he said. Don't be down. Don't be depressed. Don't go up in pride and arrogance, but be in His presence. Amen. I like what the psalmist David wrote in Psalm 61 and 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, he said. He knew he could call upon God. He knew he could reach out to the Lord and bring his prayer before him. David went on to say, when my heart is overwhelmed. We get to that point, don't we? We come to that place where we're overwhelmed and our heart is feeling like there is no answer, there's no direction, there's no way. But David went on to say, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Praise God. He was willing to continue reaching out and ascending up into the presence of God, because the Lord declared, come up to me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Praise God. Amen. If any man thirst, he said, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, for that Jesus was not yet glorified. But I'm glad that not yet was fulfilled. I'm glad that not yet was put aside and the Holy Ghost fell. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God was poured out. God fulfilled his word. Amen. And we can drink of his Spirit. He promised Moses, I will give thee. He's a giving God. Continues to give. Continues to bless. I will give thee tables of stone. I'm glad God wrote it in stone, not on colorful poster board, not on nondescript cardboard. He wrote it in stone. Praise God. His fingers, the finger of God engraved that stone. The commandments, he said, I have written. I'm thankful they surpass tradition. They surpass philosophy. They go beyond religion or anything that man would be able to come up with. I'm thankful for the commandments that God has given, because they set us free. Amen. And so he commanded him, teach them. Not just put them in archives. Not just let them gather dust. Not just let them be on the shelf to be admired, but to be in human hearts. Praise God. And the teaching is to continue. Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful I know that name. Hallelujah. He went on, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Praise God. I'm thankful that he is there when we come to him. Moses responded. He didn't reject it. He had been used to hearing the voice of God. As a 40-year-old in Egypt, he had much in the way of education. He had numerous experiences. He lived in great extravagance. He had it all in terms of what the world could give him. But he chose to step away from that and identify with the people of God. What he had learned from his parents persuaded him. Years later, it came to him to make a decision. And as that decision unfolded, the history that he learned at the knee of his mother about Abraham, about others who served God and walked with the Lord, and the hand of God was displayed in an amazing way, the history of the Hebrews and the works of God would come very much alive to him, and he would see it firsthand that God could open the way, that God could provide, that God could bless with waters in the desert. Amen. And in situations that had not been seen before, Moses would see the hand of God displayed, because he saw him who is invisible. Praise God. How do you see what's invisible? Faith. Faith in holding on to God's word. As an 80-year-old in the desert, he saw a burning bush. And he heard the voice of God, I am that I am. Amen. And it stayed with him so strongly that 40 years later, when he's 120, 40 years later, he would still recall the voice of him that dwelt in the bush. An amazing phrase in Deuteronomy 33:16. Him that dwelt in the bush. No doubt he could remember it like it was yesterday. He could recall the sound of the voice. He could hear the crackle of the flames. He could see the bush on fire. but it not being consumed. Thank God for the experiences that God gives to us. Amen. That cannot be duplicated any other way. And Moses was familiar with the voice of God, and he was faithful to obey it. So Moses rose up. If he was seeking comfort or convenience, he'd have stayed in Egypt. If he was wanting to just relax and take it easy, he'd have missed out on what God had for him. Now, at the beginning of the chapter that we read here in his Exodus, at the beginning of it, he had been told to come up and worship and to bring Aaron and his sons with him, his brother and his nephews. And 70 elders approach the mountain and come up and worship. Now he is again commanded to come up to the mount. So he rose up. Praise God. Not in anger, not in rejection, not in frustration. He rose up in obedience. God wants you to go higher in his promise and in his presence. God wants to give you more than you've received. Thank God. He's a God who gives twice as much. He's a God who gives a double portion. He's a God who gives a second touch. Why not keep going? Why not keep seeking? Why not keep finding what the Lord has for you? Hear his voice and rise up and follow him. Praise God. Joshua was his minister. I'm thankful the next generation was included. I'm thankful it wasn't overlooked. I'm thankful Moses didn't just say, listen, Joshua, you stay here. God spoke to me, and I hope sometime you get a clue and understand what's going on here. No, he brought Joshua along. Praise God. The next generation needs to be brought along. And Joshua is described as his minister. Praise God. Oh, yeah, his minister. It means to contribute to. The King James Version also translates that Hebrew word to serve and to wait on. That's what Joshua was doing. It put me in remembrance of Elijah and Elisha. Elisha is described as the one who poured water on the hands of Elijah. He ministered. And because of that place, because of that mentoring, Elisha took up the mantle of Elijah. He didn't wait for something new, or he didn't look out for something that would be different. He didn't say, it's a new time, it's a new generation, we need a new revelation. He took what Elijah passed on, and he smote the waters, and the waters parted, just like they had a few minutes or an hour or so before, and he went across on dry ground. Thank God for the power of the Lord. Lord, and the double portion that God is able to give to those who are seeking him. Amen. The power that God can bring forth in ministry. Oh, there are hurting people who need help. There are people who are waiting for an answer and they need a witness. Thank God you can be involved in ministry. You can contribute to the kingdom of God. Your prayers, your visits, your ministering to the needs can make a difference. Amen. I'm going to wait right here until you say amen. I want you to agree with that. I want you to grab a hold of that. Praise God. You can minister. You can be a part. You can see the hand of God displayed. Praise God. So Moses went up. He was called up. He rose up. He went up. And he's on the mountain with God. The display of God's glory, the devouring fire, and the concealing cloud, the appearance of an erupting volcano. Not something that you'd jump up and down, clap your hands, say, oh, look at this, we get to go here. The ground's shaking, the clouds concealing, there's fire erupting. Let's go. But Moses was there for 40 days. Important to linger in the presence of God. Because during that time, God was giving him the plans and the pattern for the tabernacle, telling him about the priesthood, the recipes for incense and anointing oil, the instructions for the furniture, the offerings, the sacrifices, all that would be involved in worshiping God and serving him, all of it a type of Jesus and the work that he would do concealed there in the for us to receive the revelation. Hebrews 12 would make an amazing comparison. God on the mount at that time was terrifying to the people. A boundary was set. Don't come near this place on the threat of death. Thunder and lightning, an exceeding loud trumpet, a thick cloud and smoke, and the mountain shook. But the writer said, but you are come. Oh, I'm glad the theme for Hebrews is better. Better. Praise God. You are come to the Mount Zion. Not a mountain that's going to be terrifying. Not a mountain that's going to be shocking. But the city of the living God, the heavenly, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to Jesus, who is the mediator of the new covenant. So that the things that can be shaken will be shaken. So that that which cannot be shaken will remain. We have a kingdom that's not going to be moved. And we can have grace to serve God acceptably. Moses and Joshua are on the mountain. What's going on down below? I wish we could erase that part. I wish we could say they waited faithfully. They expectantly waited to hear what Moses would have to say for them to them from the Lord. But they waited, and their commitment wilted. They sat down to eat and drink. They rose up to play. Why? A golden calf. That's amazing. That's incredible. They've seen 10 plagues that humbled the greatest civilization in the world. They marched across the Red Sea on dry ground. The waters of Marah, bitter, were made sweet. On and on it goes. The miracles and the power of God. And now they say, we don't know what happened to Moses. He's been gone for 40 days. Make us something to worship. I don't know how that happened, except for the fickleness of man's heart. The heart is desperately wicked. Deceitful above all things, and who can know it? And that was a definite display of Jeremiah 17:9. Oh, we can't, you can't rely on your own cognizance, your own recognition of what might be considered truth. You've got to stay with the Word of God. You got to stay in the presence of God. They were singing, they were dancing, they were rejoicing, they were having a time of what they called worship. But they were naked. You move away from God, and immodesty starts to become acceptable. Display of self and skin. You move closer to God, and the opposite takes place. Modesty. Choice to please God. Amen. God's wrath came because they were far from where they should have been. But Moses prayed. Moses asked the Lord to forgive their sin. Moses said, if you don't forgive them, blot me out of thy book. Well, you talk about ministry. Amazing. Amazing, and God's presence came in the pillar of the cloud that had been leading them all of this time. God's presence again came there, and God spoke to Moses as a man speaks to a friend. Moreover, Moses spoke to God. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up. I've got to have your presence, Lord. Amen. And then he said, show me thy glory. The Lord showed him his glory. In a limited way. And then the Lord showed him the promised land from Mount Nebo, another mountain. He could look into the promised land, but he wasn't going to enter it. And then he died on that mount. But the rest of the story, praise God. The disciples see Jesus and Elijah and Moses on the mountain in the promised land. And the glory of God shone in the face of Jesus Christ. Both requests honored, and both situations fulfilled. Praise God, because the Lord keeps his promises. and blesses beyond anything that we could know. Now, let's put that in today. The church being called up. The church rising up. The church going up. Praise God. I'm thankful we're called and we hear His voice and we respond to it. We rise up out of sin and bondage because the blood of Jesus forgives our sins. And we go up and we go on, hallelujah, knowing the power and the blessing of the Lord. And then in today, we're faithful to His calling. We are familiar with His voice. We don't just cast it off. We don't just put it aside. We hear the nudge of the Spirit and we respond. Praise God. We rise above temptations, rise above worldliness, rise above the flesh and overcome all that the devil would throw against us. And we go on and up in our walk with the Lord because we're waiting for that shout. We're waiting for that voice. We're waiting for that trump. Amen. That's going to call us out of this world and we'll rise up by the power of the Spirit of God and the dead in Christ preceding us, but we'll join them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I don't have time to monkey around with golden calves that are of my own making. Or golden calves that somebody else says, this is what you need to do. You don't need to go at that mountain. You don't need to do all of that stuff. Come on, just relax right here. Rise up and eat and drink and just enjoy it. Don't have time for that. I'm waiting for a trumpet to sound. I'm waiting for a call to come forth. I'm waiting for the voice of the archangel. Amen. And I'm going to rise up with those who have gone on before. Rise up with those of you who are faithful and remain. Alive and remain. Praise God. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air. Praise God. Praise God. Stand with me today. Not a time to play with the voice of God and what He says in His Word. Not a time to just eat, drink, and be merry and act as though there's nothing at stake here. There's nothing beyond what we've received already. No, there's so much more that God has for us. So much more that He wants to display. So much more that He wants to give. Amen. And I trust the desire in your heart is, I want more from you, Lord. More of you, Lord. Amen. John said it so well. He must increase, and I must decrease. Amen. And then the display of God's power. Then the display of His hand and blessing. Praise God. Would you come to pray here today now? Praise God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. I want us to pray, Lord, help me to hear your voice. All the noise and all the distraction and all the confusion in the world today, help me to hear your voice, Lord. And not only to hear your voice, but to rise up, Lord, and to go up into your presence and into your power. Praise God. Can we reach out to the Lord for that? Can we trust the Lord to bless us and to strengthen us? Praise God. Oh, Lord, we need you. Oh, Lord, we need you.